Proverbs chapter number 1. Go to about the middle of your Bible. If you land in the book of Psalms, go forward a few pages. Eventually you run into it. Proverbs chapter number 1. We'll read the first 8 verses this evening. Responsively, I'll read verse number 1 and you'll join me on verse number 2. And we'll alternate like that all the way through verse number 8. Proverbs chapter number 1. Beginning in verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we come to you again this evening. Lord, we know the order of service says stop and pray, but it's not our heart's desire just to stand up here, say a few pretty words just because we're supposed to. But Holy Spirit, we're truly here this evening because I believe each and every one of us are hungry to learn something about you. Lord, our heart's desire is not just to come and have our head filled with a bunch of facts, a bunch of knowledge. But Lord, we want to leave from here, Lord, change beyond our mind. Lord, we want our heart to be affected to the point where it'll influence the way that we live. And may the message of this evening do just that for us. May the Holy Spirit fill our pastor as he preaches, and may we yield to that same Holy Spirit that he's filled with, that we should be filled with to ourselves, and we'll yield to you. Lord, we ask that you just speak to our hearts this evening. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. My preaching is different. No comments. I am not a preacher that enjoys preaching what I would call breakdown maintenance sermons. Wait till something's broke and try to fix it. I believe in preventive maintenance preaching. Preach on things and teach people before it breaks down so that it doesn't break down. Tonight, again, would be one of those sermons, a little bit of preventive maintenance. But I want to help you with the truth. I want every boy and girl to listen. I want every teenager to listen. I want every mom and dad. I want every grandma and grandpa and great-grandma and great-grandpa to listen, because this applies to everybody. For some, it will be an encouragement. For some, it will be a challenge. For yet others, it should convict. It really should. After almost 42 years of preaching, working with people like I have, please don't take this statement the wrong way, but I believe I've earned the right to preach on the topic I'm going to preach tonight. I'm a sinner. I'm no different than you are. I am not perfect. But I have given over 42 years of my life to preaching the Bible and helping people. In doing so, tonight we're going to I'm going to open up an area of expertise of my life, so to speak. Not saying I'm the great example of it. I'm just saying somebody that gives 42 years of their life to something, they ought to know something about it. God wants his children to be wise. He gave us the Word of God for wisdom. When we got saved, he gave us his Holy Spirit to indwell us, to guide us in the scriptures that he gave us. Then he gave us a preacher to stand up and preach in the power of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God to teach you more wisdom. Then God says he gives us the experiences of life, good and bad. Hey, people that want to rewrite history, good and bad gives wisdom. Take the bad parts of history away and you have fools. Now, many Christians say that they like to learn, but few like instruction. Four times we read in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, the word instruction. Many people in this room, and please don't confess your fault here, many hated school. I've even heard some people say, I like learning, but I hate school. The Bible says you don't hate learning and you don't hate school, you hate instruction. Because you hate instruction does not mean everyone else does. Nor does it mean that you are wise by making that statement. Most people think that the word instruction means to teach or to transfer knowledge. And that could not be farther from the truth. Now, listen to me very carefully here. The word instruction is a very harsh word. If I may, instruction is a bit of a negative word. In the Hebrew language especially, it is a very negative word. But we also read that you can't get wisdom without instruction. Notice what the scripture says. Look at verse number 2. To know wisdom and instruction. Verse number 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Now, I want you to notice something. This does not refer to the transfer of truth. It's not talking about me standing and transferring truth to you as far as facts and figures, and it's not just a transfer of knowledge. Instruction is much different. Wisdom is not gotten without instruction. Now, the word instruction has to do with discipline, character. The definition of instruction is this: restraint, chastening. That means, in redneck terms, that means getting a whooping. All right? Restraint, chastening, correction, rebuke, or warning. God says that fools despise restraint. Fools despise chastening. Let's take corporal punishment out of the schools. They don't want to correct anybody. Well, if you can show us how 2 + 2 = 5 in your mind, we'll accept that as right. Rebuke. Did you know rebuke is not a good talking to? When my kids were growing up, if they heard my wife or I say, go to your room, we're going to have a talk, it wasn't going to be a good talk. It was going to be a rebuke. And there were times there wasn't many words used, but it would be time for Ellen's nap. That was her dinner bell. Now, wait a minute. We have to understand, the word instruction is the negative side of discipline. Now, listen to this very carefully here. God says that wise people love instruction, but fools hate instruction. I didn't say it. Look at chapter 1, verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, we're getting close to the sermon. Here we go. Wise people love discipline, correction, restraint. We would use the word character, and that is involved in learning. But fools hate it. Fools want to learn things their way. They don't want to yield to the rules and the authority of anybody but themselves. I'll just figure it out on my own. That's kind of like, fellas, when you get something that you got to get put together and you don't use the instructions. You find out how bad that is and how many things you broke so that you got to buy it again and follow the instructions. Notice the word instructions. There's a discipline that goes with it. You ready? Some of you might get upset, and I hope so. Public education has removed instruction from the classrooms. From the pre-K levels all the way through college. Now we allow fools to graduate without any knowledge or discipline. We've removed the discipline of sitting in a chair in a classroom to where kids can do just about anything they want. Used to be kids didn't talk in school unless you raised your hand or you're on recess or in the hallway. And there were times even then you weren't even allowed to talk. At least I wasn't. They put me in a corner. I wasn't allowed to say anything. Me and Dennis the Menace had a good time, amen? He and I were good friends. By the way, there was a day when kids who went to school actually got the grade they earned. They didn't put it on a curve or make everybody pass just because, we don't want anybody to feel bad. They didn't have summer school. They called it dummy school. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I remember kids that failed and didn't get to go on. And it happened a good bit. But you know, once that takes place, the rest of the class kind of says, I better get my work done. Everybody doing okay? Kids can't read worth a lick. You can't read what they write. They can only type it on an iPad at best. And they think they're smart because they can say, "Hey Siri, don't let your phone go off." Now listen to this very carefully here. Because we have removed instruction from education. We want people to feel good. So we've removed instruction and now we have educated fools. Oh, I didn't say you couldn't get educated, but you're not going to be instructed. Now, let me jump into the sermon here. I'm going to give you a transition here, and then we're going to jump right in. True wisdom means you constantly discipline yourself to learn. I am not the smartest person in the room. Please, no comment. I don't claim to be. But I will tell you this, I'm a learner. I really am. I will remain a learner. You allow instruction to affect every part of your life to get wisdom. I'm constantly being instructed, disciplined by God, by you, by my wife, by everybody. You see, it just means this. You choose who your instructors are. Now, this is where it's going to hurt. You're not wise if you are your only instructor. If you are your only instructor, scripturally, you're not wise. If you're the only one that can tell you what to do, you're not wise. As a parent, you're not wise letting only you and your wife or you and your husband be the leadership of a child. They're not learning to follow other instructors. My kids knew this was true. You'll watch two of them nod their head in a moment. If they got in trouble at Sunday school, I didn't listen to what their side of it was. They got in trouble for it when they got home. I didn't care what happened. So, somebody else did. Well, you obviously did something because you got caught for it too. And if you didn't, you did something before and didn't get caught for it, so time to get whooped for it now. Wait a minute. I believed the teacher. I believed the Sunday school teacher. I believed the adult that said, "One of your kids did this." Well, yeah, they're not above it. My kid? Yep, mine. I taught my children that there were many instructors in life. And they weren't just to follow mom and dad. They're to follow all the instruction of those above them. Boy, that's a good statement. To be truly wise, we must look at this matter of instruction more closely. And I want you to understand something. Without instruction, God says you'll become a fool. God says if you hate instruction, you're a fool. I didn't say it, God did. But you're no better than the lost world that hates God if you hate instruction. Everybody doing okay? Point number one. I love you. Point number one, learn to love instruction for yourself. I'm not asking you to learn instruction or love instruction for your kids or for your family. You need to learn to love instruction for yourself. People hate instruction because they don't want anyone or anything to tell them what to do. we're pretty proud, aren't we? Look at Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to study mainly in the book of Proverbs tonight. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 9. Lest thou give thine honor unto others in the years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. It sounds like people getting loans. And thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. Look at how a nation who refuses instruction is now enslaved. We're in debt because we don't allow ourselves to be disciplined by a budget. We need to hold our Congress's feet to the fire and get a balanced budget. We can't go trillions and trillions. We are at about $33 trillion in debt. That's only one side of it. Actually, you're closer to $60 trillion in debt and don't even know it. Did you know there are people that think they're doing okay just because they have a house and a car and they're juggling their payments and, well, I'm wise. You're giving your whole life to strangers and have nothing to show for it. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. I'm just using the Bible. You can get mad at God. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. I just preach it. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse number 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Notice poverty and shame. They go together. A bad name, bad credit, bad work ethic, not able to pay your bills, returning things because you can't pay for them. Instruction teaches us how not to spend all you have. Instruction gives us the discipline and wisdom to not live in constant debt. I realize you're not going to go out and pay cash for a house normally. Not all debt is bad debt. But I wonder how much debt we have isn't wise debt. Instruction teaches you how not to live in poverty. Preacher, look at all the things I have. How much of it do you own, not how much of it are you making payments on? Instruction looks at a budget as a friend, not an enemy. Do you know that my schedule is my friend, not my enemy? I live by schedule. Now, I don't put mine on my phone. I have a paper schedule. I still use pen, paper, and an old-fashioned calendar, schedule book. I grew up with a schedule book, and I'm going to die with a schedule book. Put it in my coffin when I go. Bury it with me and give me my hammer and my chisel. Amen. I knew what you were thinking. Saw the grin when I wasn't even looking at it. I can see it reflecting off the wall back there. Wait a minute. I realize I may be old-fashioned, but how many times have you seen me late to an appointment? I let my schedule be my boss. My schedule is my boss. I don't have to punch a clock. I don't have to account for my hours to anybody. But I let my schedule be my boss. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, it doesn't mean I hate my schedule. You can ask my wife. After a few days of being somewhere and I'm out of schedule, I get to be a little gnarly at times. My schedule's my friend. If I'm on vacation, I get up at the same time. I don't sleep in on vacation. Say, preacher, that's not vacation. Maybe it is for you, but it's not for me. I'll get up 5 o'clock, 4:30, get up, work, do Bible work, sermon work, get busy for the day, have fun with God. I'm not going to take a vacation on God. That's my time with Him. I'll let my schedule dictate that. I might sleep to 5:30 instead of 5, and I'll be lazy for a little bit, but that's about the extent of it. I should love wisdom, loving God, enough to where I'll instruct myself enough to get close to Him. Did you know it takes discipline to read that book every day? It takes character. I could teach you how to read your Bible every day, and you would not miss. If you came to this altar, put your face before God and said, God, I'll not put food in my mouth any day until I read your book. I'll guarantee you'll read the Bible. Guarantee it. Because most people won't go 24 hours without eating. If you made a promise to God, you won't put food in your mouth till you read that book. I'll guarantee you'll read your Bible every day. Job said that his words were more important than my necessary food. Hit a Baptist where they hurt most, their belly. You'll read your Bible every day if you promise God, and you'll read this book every day before you put food in your mouth. I'll guarantee it. Everybody doing all right? That means this. It takes discipline to do that. That means you might have to get up 15 minutes early. Oh, God, help us. Did you know it takes discipline to go to church? To be at all the services, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? It takes discipline. You say, well, preacher, that just sounds a little bit radical. Look how unspiritual our nation is, and look how much we need church. I'll promise you, you don't come to church and say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have come tonight. No, you'll come and say, that might have hurt, but I sure didn't need that. You know, it takes discipline to tell others about Jesus Christ, to leave gospel tracts. I pulled into Sheets the other day to put gas in my truck. Every pump had gospel tracts on them. Every last one of them. And here it was again. I got out. A guy says, hey, is that? I said, it is. I said, you know I didn't put them here because you saw me pull up. He said, yeah, how'd that happen? I said, it had to be one of my people. I'm not sure who it was. It's probably Kathy or Harry. Who knows? Now, wait a minute. That's fine. But that takes discipline. That takes having them. It takes thinking about it. It takes the discipline to say, hey, this, read this when you get a chance to show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven someday. It takes discipline. Did you know it takes discipline to have a relationship with God? To pray? It takes discipline. Did you know... It takes discipline to live a separated Christian life and not live like the lost world. You know, it's easy to go the way of the world. It's hard to go against it. God does not want the church to look like the world. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. That means don't bring the unclean thing in here. Our music's supposed to be different. The way we dress should be different. The way we look should be different. The way we act should be different. I'm glad we don't act like the world acts. Man, you come in here, this is a piece of old-fashioned America in here. And that's the way it ought to be. But it takes discipline, it takes instruction. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 again, verse number 3. I love you, but this one's going to sting a little bit. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Instruction has to be received. You don't force it on somebody. Let me read Proverbs chapter 8, 1 verse to you here. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 32 says this. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. And that wasn't the right verse. Verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Notice what it says. Hear it. God said, receive it. Hear it. That means this, you've got to be where it's at to hear it. Sunday school is important. You're receiving instruction. Having your kids at church is important. Teaching them, learning how to behave is important. Instruction is not beaten into you, it's received by you. You know, God doesn't come down and beat you in the head. But I'll promise you one thing, if you're wanting to get close to him, you're going to get whooped every once in a while. I have a sermon I'm working on saying, I wish you could backslide. For you to backslide means you had to be far enough out to where there's some place to slide back to. Most people aren't even, if they slid, there's no place to slide. Most people do not like instruction because their pride causes them to think they're good enough to be in charge of their own family, their own work, their own life, their own ministry. They just don't need anybody else. Proverbs 15. Now it's verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We think, I have a position, therefore I have wisdom and I've been instructed. God says humility in instruction is what will give you, but you got to have the humility before honor comes. I've got to hurry. Number two. So I said, first of all, first point, learn to love instruction for yourself. Number two, not only must I love instruction, I must obey instruction. I not only have to receive it and want to get it, but I must obey it once I've gotten it. We read Proverbs 1:3 just a moment ago. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Now, I want you to notice something here. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Verse number 22, chapter 6, verse 22 now. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, I want you to notice something. God says here, he commands. We have to command ourselves. You know, there's days I don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to do, but I got to command myself to do it. There's days I don't feel like doing some of the things I have to do. But guess what? I command myself to do it. The Bible talks about the laws. Look at verse, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. The word law there is the word rules. Did you know that people who love instruction love rules? They don't say, oh, those stupid rules. Now, I realize there are some rules that aren't always intelligent. But most rules are more intelligent than they're not. God says they're supposed to lead us, protect us as we sleep, and fellowship with it. We're to fellowship with instruction. That means this, we're supposed to work. The word fellowship does not mean play, it means work. Verse 23, you're going to follow some law. You're either going to follow your own law, the way of foolishness, or God's law, the way of wisdom. Instruction will lead you to wisdom. Doing it your way doesn't. Now, I say that to say this. We have to choose wisely who and what we allow to instruct us. Choose wisely who and what instructs you. Do you know there are times my wife instructs me? Well, preacher, you're supposed to be the leader. I am, but I also know how to take instruction. She has areas of life she's better at than I am. I better take notice. There are times Brother Josh instructs me. He has areas of expertise I do not. There are times Mrs. Barnes instructs me. She understands some of the things that I don't understand quite as well. I take instruction fairly well. I have learned to love instruction so that I can lead you as a whole better. You know, in the home, I didn't always understand what about the kids my wife understood, so I better pay attention. My wife is fantastic in working with kids. Now, I was too. Sit down, be quiet, do this, do that. And that's not instruction. That's called dictatorship. Bless God, it wasn't a democracy. But there was times she'd say, honey, do you think next time we could... Okay, that was her way of instructing me. Yep, we could try that. Guess it didn't handle that very well. No, you didn't. Yeah, been through that conversation more than one time, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. We have to choose what instructs us. Let me read a verse to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, you know it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for what? Instruction in righteousness. This book is a book of instruction. That means this. You don't get instructions just to say, I've got instructions. I got to be careful because somebody's going to get mad at me. They put them in there for you to read so you know how to do it. You're not supposed to say, well, I'll figure it out. It takes you three times as long and you always have extra parts and it falls apart. You wonder why. You're supposed to follow the instructions. The instructions are there to be read and to be followed. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun with this. I'm on an island all by myself tonight. Proverbs chapter 19. Let me read a couple more verses to you. Look at verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction. Did you know seeking counsel sometimes means you're going to get a little bit negative, get corrected, warned, rebuked, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end? There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of man in his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. By the way, let's talk about politicians. A poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Be careful listening to instruction that takes you away from truth. We ought not put our children in situations where they have to listen to people that are going to pull them away from truth. Be careful what they watch. Be careful what they are entertained with. Be careful with their education. That's why we're starting a school, so that they can be educated in truth. Everybody doing okay? I want our kids who come through our church school to love their mom and dad more than they did when they went to the public school. They're not going to be told, this is how you turn your mommy and daddy in if they're mean. And you're not really a boy or a girl. You can be whatever you want to be. That's a bunch of garbage. Two bulls don't make a cow. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. This alphabet soup crowd's really stupid. See, preacher, I can't believe. Hang on, you'll not believe a few more things. The books we read, the entertainment we choose, and the people with whom we associate with are all influencers of our instruction. I've got to hurry. I've got 5 minutes, and this is my last point. Number three, only after we learn to receive instruction do we qualify to be an instructor. Let me say that statement again. Only after we have learned to not only receive instruction and obey instruction, do we then qualify to be an instructor. I am not being critical here. I know there are people in this room, you did not finish high school, and at best you got a GED. I'm not critical of that. I'm glad you got it. But please listen to this very carefully. Just because you got a GED doesn't make you qualified to instruct. It doesn't mean you can't someday. Because some have gone well beyond that and done far more than some that have done other things. I get it. There's straight A people in there sitting in jail right now. There's people that didn't even finish high school that are making a good living. I got it. But instruction comes, it amazes me how someone who has never run a church can tell a pastor how to run a church. I love the men on our board. I love our deacons and our trustees. And they're good men. I ask their counsel on a regular basis. That's why we have meetings. I love each and every one of our men. But may I say something? There's not a one of them knows how to run church. And a church that lets a deacon board run the church isn't a real wise church. God didn't call the deacons. God called the pastor. Anything with more than one head's a monster. Promise you. Now, I love our deacons. Don't get me wrong. And men, you know what I'm talking about. I am not a dictator. But somebody's got to lead it. I just happen to have been trained longer and been doing it longer than anybody in this room. I guess I should be the most qualified then. Okay. This one's going to hurt. I'm not going to look at you as I read this. Age does not teach you instruction. It just means you know how to stay alive. There's more wisdom in that than you know. You don't qualify to be an instructor just because of your age. I know a lot of 50 and 60 year old fools. You know, the ones that have the white ponytail and are trying to ride a Harley. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They got to get their metal hip flipped around on top of that thing. Just because you have reached a certain age doesn't qualify you to be an instructor. You don't qualify to be an instructor because you can make something happen. Shoot, I can make a lot of things happen too, but it's not always a good thing. Do you have the character, the discipline, and the restraint to train somebody else to do it? Train doesn't mean bark out orders. Train means you give someone the wherewithal to do it on their own without you being present. Just because you told them what to do doesn't mean you trained anybody. It's one thing to be able to bark orders. It's another thing to make sure somebody is able to get the job done, do it right, and for them to teach somebody else also. Brother Josh, come on up here for a second. Now, he knows I know how to bark orders. He's heard a lot of them. Shut up. I'm not even looking. I can tell the dumb look on his face already. Wait a minute. Success isn't because I knew how to bark orders. It's because of training. It means this. If I have to leave and be gone for a service, Brother Josh, handle it. Do you have any questions? I've trained him enough that if I'm not here, things run pretty smooth. Say why? Because I didn't just bark orders. By the way, you can ask him. I'm not constantly saying, did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? No? Do you need help with anything? I don't check on him. We've got jobs to do. I might say, okay, deadline's coming up. Are we close on this? Did you get all this done? What do you need yet done? Is there anything I can help you with? I don't run it and micromanage it for him. There's times he'll say, well, I need this. Can I ask? No, not that person. Go ask this person. That one? Yeah, ask that one instead. Okay. He'll come back. Boy, am I glad you had me go ask that person. Happen to know a little bit more. Training. Isn't that what it's about? My goal as a parent wasn't just for him to get out of my house, though that was one of the goals. The goal was that someday he would meet the right lady, which he did do, marry her, which he finally did do, and be able to make it without mommy and daddy having to tell them what to do. That's called training. Thank you, Brother Josh. You don't just bark orders. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 9. A couple more verses and we're done. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase learning. Notice it says give instruction to a wise man. A wise man is the only one that will be instructed, because a fool rejects it. A person who seeks instruction is a wise person. And they know that instruction and wisdom go together. As I got older, when my leaders started saying, are you sure you want to do that? After enough mistakes, I learned to realize that was a statement of, hey, stupid, don't try that. I learned to say, why shouldn't I? You hit the wall enough, before too long, you better back up and realize there's another way around it. You don't have to go through it. Wisdom and instruction go together, but you're not going to get wisdom without discipline and character and reproof. Proverbs chapter 15, we read these verses a little while ago. I'm going to read them again. Verse number 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Wow. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Now listen to this, and I'm going to shut her down. People who seek honor, which means position, notoriety, prestige, fame, they're seeking without instruction. You might have a position, but it doesn't mean you qualify for instruction or wisdom. There's a lot of people with positions all over this country, businesses, politics, other places. They're well known, Hollywood, Hollyweird, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, they have positions, but let me tell you something. They won't receive instruction, therefore they're not wise. Instruction seeks humility. Humility and instruction then give you position and notoriety when you can handle it. Let me ask you a question. If you lost a position, is your life going to get turned upside down? If it is, you're not receiving instruction. Everybody doing okay? You can take any title you want away from me. You can have the keys to go with it too. I understand that all too well. Okay, you're looking at a position. How about receiving instruction? I really believe people ought to earn their way, pay their dues before they get moved up. I think it's dangerous for young people to get moved up too soon. I'm not for young people skipping grades. Well, they're smart enough. They are till you get a 16-year-old at college. They're not mature enough to handle college. And I know what I'm talking about here. You say, well, my kid's so smart. They have you for a parent. They're not as smart as you think they are. Trust me. Just because you have a title or just because you have reached a certain age doesn't mean you've earned the right to be an instructor. Did you know that just because you're married doesn't make you an expert in marriage? Well, why, preacher? I've been married, divorced 4 times. I've been at this. I've got 5 chances at this. Yeah. And if you've been married 5 times, I'm not criticizing you. That's not what I'm saying. But do you see the logic there? Did you know lost people can be married and stay married for 50 years or more? So just because you've been married and married a long time doesn't mean you have the right to be an instructor. I read this old, they were interviewing some old lady. She was about 105, 106. They said, what's the key to your longevity? She said, I drink whiskey every day. That just because you reach 105 doesn't mean drinking whiskey every day is going to do it for you. Hate to tell you. She just doesn't remember how old she is after drinking that much. Did you know that lost people can be good parents too? Everybody doing all right? Did you know that lost people can be good bosses? I've had several bosses that were lost. I won them to the Lord. Many of them. But did you know there are good bosses out there that aren't saved? So just because you have a title or a position doesn't mean you have the right to be an instructor. You don't have the right to instruct on finances just because you know how to make payments and juggle payments. Why don't you listen to somebody that's managed enough money in their life and knows how to put money away and save some money and not live paycheck to paycheck? How about we learn to receive instruction and not be a fool? To receive instruction. That word instruction, that's a nasty word. That's preaching. That's the preacher getting on your sin. That's the preacher getting on his own sin. That's the sharpness, the charactering, the filing down, the warning, the discipline that goes. We have problem in public education because we have no instruction. Kids need to learn discipline. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, I'm done. We ought to learn to love instruction.